Hello and welcome to the Duane Morris Money and Banking Law Podcast with Joe Sylvia, brought to you by the global law firm of Duane Morris. I'm your host, Joe Sylvia. I'm a former Federal Reserve lawyer who represents banks, fintechs, and other clients on mergers and acquisitions, payments, and regulatory matters at Duane Morris. I'm also a core member of our banking, fintech, and digital assets and blockchain practices. The goal of the Duane Morris Money and Banking Law Podcast is to inform and educate our clients and friends on both the fundamental concepts and structure of the banking ecosystem, as well as critical developments in the law and regulation of money and banking. On this episode, we're talking about the American Bar Association's fall meeting last week held in Toronto. So why are we talking about last week's meeting up in Toronto? I think there's a couple of reasons. One, I was there and it was a fantastic event. The ABA did a great job. But also, too, because I'm the chair of the American Bar Association's Banking Law Committee. And that committee resides within the business law section. So this fall meeting last week in Toronto was the fall meeting for the business law section. Now, the business law section has a number of different committees. The Banking Law Committee is one of those. It also includes committees such as the Mergers and Acquisitions Committee, Private Equity and Venture Capital Committee, Consumer Financial Services Committee, each of which I am also a member of, but I'm the chair of the Banking Law Committee. And so I thought it would be interesting to kind of reflect on what I saw and heard while up in Toronto. A couple of things come to mind more than anything else at this point. First, digital assets, blockchain technology, cryptocurrency is still the hottest of hot topics. No matter where you fall in the spectrum of liking or disliking cryptocurrencies or digital assets, they were certainly the talk of the town last week in Toronto. We had multiple panels within the Banking Law Committee and then within the broader business law section that talked about things like stablecoins, the passage of the Genius Act a few months back. There was a great analysis on valuation topics, due diligence, legal risks for the lending community when lending against either cryptocurrency or some other kind of digital asset. A lot of really good discussion around where the ecosystem may or may not be going in the future with respect to digital assets. A lot of that focus really is on what may or may not happen with Congress initially and the potential for a market structure bill. And secondly, the potential regulatory developments, i.e. developments in actual rule writing coming out from potentially the SEC, the CFTC, and the federal banking agencies. We've had a couple of episodes where we've talked a little bit about digital assets. Our first episode was on the Genius Act because at that point it had just been passed when we were ready to launch. So it was a great episode with my partner, Moral Wolf, here in New York, who leads our global digital asset practice. Back to the meeting last week in Toronto. As I said, a lot of discussion around digital assets broadly, a lot of questions off to the side about whether or not banks and other financial institutions are actually involved or engaged in something with digital assets. And I think it really runs the spectrum in terms of where banks and other financial institutions fall in terms of interest level and acceptance level, and what the interest and acceptance may look like for the future. There were a few conversations that I was part of where we were talking about certain financial institutions or groups of financial institutions that may have some interest in engaging with digital assets, but they don't quite understand enough about where the digital asset ecosystem sits now and certainly where it may go in the future to really put together a strategic plan, for lack of a better description, around what they may or may not do with digital assets. There are some banks and other financial institutions that are already lending against things like Bitcoin wallets. There are institutions that are looking at and already engaging in tokenizing either deposits or tokenizing real-world assets, such as commercial real estate, for example. There are also, I think a lot of the activity to date has been in the markets, and that's in the securities and derivatives markets. It seems to be where the SEC and CFTC have been more interested in putting forth guidance or making speeches that look very helpful for the industry in terms of expectations, regulatory parameters, and reviews going forward. So there's been a lot of work, a lot of expectation there, things around, for example, crypto ETFs, exchange-traded funds, and more broadly, exchange-traded products, ETPs. So we've seen a lot of activity in that space, expectations around whether certain types of digital assets are going to be considered securities or commodities, a lot of work to be done there. And then with the passage of the Genius Act, we have what are being called really payment stablecoins. So stablecoins determined to be kind of a different asset class outside securities and commodities, primarily because they are used for a payment function specifically. So beyond the Genius Act, the next piece of really material legislation, it looks like, is some kind of market structure bill. And based on the conversations in Toronto, you know, everybody is kind of thinking that the Clarity Act is kind of the front runner. That was the first one. It was introduced back in May on the House side. But the Senate has its own draft legislation as well. And so what we expect is at some point, everybody's going to get together and figure out what the final draft is going to look like, what kind of information requirements, disclosure requirements, how the market is really going to be structured between securities, commodities, payment stable coins, and anything in between. There's also a lot of information that we're starting to gather from federal banking agencies in terms of requests for information about what this ecosystem does or does not mean for banks, how banks and other financial institutions are actually engaging with this ecosystem, and then also what kind of the future holds for the next 6 to 12 months or so in terms of regulatory implementation of the Genius Act and potential regulatory interpretation and implementation of the Clarity Act or whatever becomes the market structure bill. Now, those are some broad strokes as to what was going on in Toronto with respect to digital assets and crypto discussion. A lot of great panels, a lot of really, really intelligent folks up there talking about a number of use cases, opportunities, and certainly finally risks, right? Because it's not without a lot of potential risk, just like any other new technology or new ecosystem. But really just, again, something to pay attention to, and especially if you're working at or with financial institutions, this digital asset ecosystem may not be something that you're looking to engage in initially or early on, but I think because of the development of the technology, the development of some of these products and services, you know, we really want to make sure that we're paying attention and trying to follow along with where certain market trends are going. Because regardless of whether Bitcoin exists tomorrow or Ethereum exists in a week, the technology and the advancements that have been made so far in the digital asset space are not going away. They are in a position to truly revolutionize financial products and services, payments, and a whole host of other risk issues and risk mitigation tactics going forward. Now, that said, it's not there yet, but we are getting to a place faster than I think a lot of people expected where use cases and technology are developing faster than people anticipated and certainly the market anticipated. So a lot of work still yet to be done, a lot of risk analysis, regulatory analysis still yet to be done. But suffice to say, certainly a really fascinating ecosystem and even more fascinating discussions at any one of these different conferences that we're attending at this point. So moving on and talking about something other than digital assets for a minute in Toronto, you know, what else did the Banking Law Committee talk about? Well, we had panels on things like tariffs. We had a really great fireside chat with Angie Radiskovich, the Assistant Superintendent and Chief Strategy and Risk Officer for OSFI, the Canadian bank regulator. Really fascinating discussion with her and her executive director. They were both fantastic, really appreciative for them coming out for that. We had meetings with respect to, you know, climate-related financial risks, payments issues, international remittances, risks beyond the borders with payments especially. And then we had a couple of really good panels with respect to U.S. banks doing business in Canada and vice versa. We also talked about cross-border transactions. And so not only just the broad scope of operations that U.S. banks may engage in within Canadian boundaries, and then but then also what Canadian banks who are coming into the United States may engage in. We talked a little bit more specifically about certain types of transactions, whether it's lending transactions, cash management types of analysis, and how that is structured or reviewed from a Canadian perspective versus a U.S. perspective. Again, really, really great stuff coming from the Banking Law Committee. I really appreciate folks coming out for that. We had a couple of really fantastic leaders from a very large U.S. bank with large Canadian operations, good friends of the firm, and very appreciative of them spending some time with us. We also had a really fun and engaging Banking Law Committee dinner like we usually do at each of these meetings, and talked about what's coming for the Banking Law Committee in the near term, most important of which is our January meeting, which is coming up this January 15th to the 17th in Washington, D.C., where we have our Banking Law Committee standalone meeting. So it's only the Banking Law Committee that's putting on sponsorship and putting on programming. It's 250, 300 or more banking lawyers from the U.S., from Canada, from abroad, all descending into Washington, D.C. for 2.5 days of CLE content, networking, drinks, dinner, lunch, everybody that you would want to see and talk with in the banking bar comes to this event. It's just a fantastic event. So if you need any information on that, please reach out to me directly, and I'd be happy to provide that information to you. And then finally, a couple of comments on what I noticed outside of digital assets and outside of the Banking Law Committee's specific programming at the Toronto meeting. There are still a lot of legal risk issues and legal risk management issues that are focused on the what I'll call the future of finance. So providing financial services by using some kind of technology or a financial technology company, a fintech, or looking at the digitization of finance more broadly than just digital assets, and what that may look like going forward for bank risk officers, compliance officers, and certainly the C-suite. There's a good bit of discussion as well around what regulators are expecting and looking to the board of directors for in terms of governance expectations, but also expectations around new products and services, new enhancements, expansionary activities. Some of those things we've talked a little bit about before in this podcast, and we'll certainly explore a lot of those going forward. But suffice to say, it became very clear very quickly at this event and in previous events that the more that our financial system goes to the digital frontier, and the more that our banks and traditional financial institutions use financial technology in very different ways, whether it's customer acquisition or customer communications, complaint responses, chatbots, anything in between, it's very clear that there's still a good role for lawyers and compliance folks to review, assess risk management strategies, techniques, and then finally to deal with those risks in the written form, either by contract, through vendor management programs, a huge topic that we'll talk about in a near-term episode, And also, you know, expectations around policies and procedures, board minutes, board governance issues, a whole host of different things going on in the risk profile here for financial institutions with digitization of finance. But suffice to say, it was a great meeting. Grateful to all the folks that came in person, grateful to those that attended virtually. It was very encouraging to be reminded that, yes, technology, finance, and digital assets are still as hot a topic as I think they are, but it is also the case that while some may not be, you know, true believers in the future of finance, the future of finance is certainly coming. It's just, how do we look at it through the context and through the lens of risk mitigation and traditional financial services being provided to customers, individual customers, retail customers, and then commercial customers. There's a lot of different use cases for financial technology, for digital assets, for fintech more broadly, fintech partnerships. It's just a matter of making sure that when businesses are conducting due diligence on acquisitions of fintech or acquisitions of companies that are engaged in fintech or otherwise, making sure that those companies are providing legitimate products and services, providing legitimate programs, doing legitimate activities, and through the diligence process, through the contracting process and vendor management process, confirming that those institutions and those companies with whom banks, credit unions, and other financial institutions are partnering are doing so in a way that is not only regulatory compliant, but also satisfactory to the actual financial institution in terms of its strategic plan, growth, expectations, and future success. Okay, so with that, I think I'll end the podcast for today. I appreciate everybody listening in. If you have any questions from any of our episodes, please feel free to reach out to me at jsilvia@dwaynemorris.com or reach out to your favorite Dwayne Morris lawyer. Please stay tuned for new episodes coming out soon. Again, I mentioned vendor management, more on fintech partnerships with banks and other financial institutions, and a whole slew of other issues that are bleeding from esoteric to very basic conceptual structural matters that I think, at least, are important for bank lawyers, bank compliance personnel, and the C-suite. And finally, please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.